Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
This is Morning Edition on AM 580, and it's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49. In Kansas City, May wheat opened at 487.5, up a half on the open July, 490.5, up a quarter. May wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 467, unchanged on the open July, 480.5, unchanged. September, 491.5, unchanged. December, 503, down 1. March 2008, 510, down 1.5 on the open. May corn opened at 410.5, up 1 on the open. July, 422.5, up 1.5. September, 414.25, up 1.25. December, 410, up a half. March, 419.75, up 1. May, 426.5, up 2.75. July, 430.5, up 2.5 on the open. May beans opened at 772, up a quarter on the open. July, 488.5, up a half. August, 795, up 3/4. September, $8, up 3.75. November, 815.5, up a quarter. January, 825, up 1.5. March, 2008, 833, up 1. May, 837.5, up a half on the open. May soybean meal opened at 223.30, down a dollar on the open. July, 228.50, up a dollar. May soybean oil open at 31.45, up 17 on the open. July, 31.93, up 19. At the Merck March feeders, open at 104.30, up 20 on the open. April, 105.80, up 55. May, 107.25, up 7.5. August, 108.85, up 22.5 on the open. April live cattle open at 98.80, up 40 on the open. June, 95.80, up 45. August, 92.85, up 30. October, 96.50, up 12.5 on the open. April lean hogs open at 63.30, down 50 on the open. May, 73.80, down 2.5. June, 74.20, down 12.5. July, 75.20, down 12.5 on the open. And March bellies open at 104.05, unchanged on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
You can receive the opening market report by podcast directly to your computer. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and you'll never miss an opening market report again. And while there, you can also subscribe to the pre-opening market report, the closing market report, and our flagship show, Commodity Week, AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I want to look at the long view, which in this case is...
What, about a day?
No, about a week to the planning intentions report. I want to spend our time looking at that and quarterly grain stocks, too. And I want to ask you just general questions. First question is a bullish surprise likely or possible in this report?
Well, we think so from the way the trade has positioned in corn, Dave. I mean, between the positioning and taking December corn... And July corn all the way back down to lows that we hadn't seen for quite some time. In the face of increasingly wet weather, we certainly think that the trade, when we were at our lows in December futures, was probably running about an 88 to 89 million planted acreage number. And I believe it was Mann coming out a couple days ago and jumping over 90 million planted acres on some of their expectations, or at least they talked about that. And it kind of put the focus back on the acreage report instead of the weather. We've kind of toggled back and forth between the two. So, yes, a friendly surprise in corn because of the way the market has traded, the rhetoric in Chicago, and also the weather pattern that we have now been introduced into would say that it's going to be a sell the rumor, buy the fact corn report.
Let's explore that a little bit more. The trade is in the mindset, it seems to me, of 10 million acres and higher than that. USDA at 87, to get a bullish number, you would have to drop that considerably, it seems to me, and I don't know that USDA would be in that camp.
Well, they very well may not be. I think that's what farmers and analysts alike probably don't want to get too hung up on what the actual number says, because we suspect if the trade's got their wits about them, that after the numbers come out, they're going to turn to the weather, and if it is still wet, they're going to say, you know, Iowa and Minnesota a year ago on the long-term drought map, and this is something we were sending out to our clients over the weekend for them to look at a year ago today versus right now, they were physically in a drought, and so they were able to get corn planted very, very quickly. Dr. Wisner on the Commodity Week last week and some clients that I've talked to out in Iowa this week have confirmed that they are in very serious danger of not getting much planted here like they did the last 2 years in a row when they were, you know, literally under the drought by the Climate Prediction Center. You add to that the issue that a lot of the soft red wheat producers in northwestern Ohio, northeastern Indiana, were looking at ripping wheat up. Well, you look at the same long-term drought model, and we're in excess moisture. Those folks are going to lose their probably strength or their serious ability to rip wheat up and plant corn, especially with July Chicago futures now treading back within 20 cents of $5. So those two things we would suspect, Dave, or we would think that trade would want to go back to after we actually get the numbers out.
So it is not actually the numbers on the report itself, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever the number is, it will be the weather, how the trade views the weather post-report.
That's how we view it, and in fact, we would look at the grain stocks and the commercial positions, storage positions, and who owns the grain as probably the primary leading indicator to what matters most on that report. And you throw in the issue, the other thing on the acreage report that the trade's going to look at is where are the increased acres at. If they are in areas that do not promote a high national yield for corn and you have the potential for nitrogen shortages that you've reported on real well, then I think, again, the trade would probably want to go back towards that mindset and say, okay, we've traded these acreage numbers for at least 3 months. Let's move on to what really is going on. Practically speaking, you can say 91 million acres all you want, but if you have a wet weather pattern and you have nitrogen shortages and you have acres that are being put in outside the traditional corn belt, surely to goodness that's going to matter to the balance sheet and the ending stocks numbers at the end of the year.
So equally then, you probably would say you won't see a bearish surprise off of the planting intentions report either.
We don't feel that way, no. In fact, I think the stocks report probably could provide the most bearish signal to the market, not the acreage report. But then again, if you look at the corn under loan, and last week, we'll get an update this week again, but last week it was around 861 million bushels for corn. We've got to believe at this stage that that is in the tightest hands that you have seen in a decade, and that is not going to be let go of anytime soon. So if the stocks report shows that very little commercial stored grain and the high number of on-farm grain, I would have to take that as a friendly signal to the market, because the supply side will be lacking as far as the giving market-ready grain to the end users and filling up the pipeline. So that's where that July D's corn spread comes back from out in the fray to being a real focal point after the report.
Given all that we've talked about then, what should producers be doing to mitigate risk between now and next Friday?
Well, you know, our philosophy has always been, and you know, the basis has really shown this up, the rally in beans is on paper. The rally in beans has been in the back end with the funds. They are the 900-pound gorilla up there right now. They can buy back-end beans and not be fought at all. And you've seen this back-end rally spill over into the front end. But at the same time, you've got Burlington, Iowa at a 55 basis, 55 under. You've got Grand Island and Hastings, Nebraska, 80 and 84 under. You've got Milwaukee at 65 under. Louisville's 48 under. A lot of clients out west towards the river in Springfield, Illinois, have seen their basis erode very, very seriously in beans, and so it kind of validates our philosophy that if you want to be long beans, be in the paper market, don't be long in the bin. And as we have gotten to within 20 cents of the old highs in November beans, it would make sense to us to defer that risk, take the unknown risk, the cash risk off the table, replace it with some calls going into the report, call verticals going into the report, and see what the market gives you as far as stocks in acres. But the cash market in beans is acting a lot like the soft red winter wheat market last year, and we suspect that's going to continue even with a friendly report, because quite simply, people like Abiev are raising their estimates on beans, and there's talk that Argentine production is going to be raised as well. So supplies continually go up. The cash market reflects that in beans. You don't have anything like that in corn right now, so be more of an aggressive seller, hedger in cash beans, less of an aggressive hedger and seller in cash corn, especially given the weather right now.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
A flood warning is in effect for Ford, Iroquois, and Livingston counties until 4 p.m. The warning includes Piper City, Stockland, Claytonville, Waseca, Milford, Pontiac, and Fairbury. You're listening to WILL Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.